Today's shiur is Masechet Baba Metzia Daf Samech Vav. We will begin on Daf Samech Hey Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, "Who gavra dezavon le'ara lechavrei shloi bachrayis." As we discussed very extensively in our shiurim, under normal circumstances, when a property is sold, it's sold with a chrayis. The definition of being sold with a chrayis means that if somebody sells a property and there's a lien on that property and that lien is exercised and the person who bought the property ends up losing that property, the person who loses the property has recourse back to the person who sold him the property to get it back, to get back his money that he paid for this property. However, we learned Achrayis Tar Sofer, that if a chrayis is not put into a shtar, it's assumed to be there anyway. But sometimes people are prepared to enter into a deal, shloi b'chrayis, where they're going to know up front that they are buying this at a risk, that if something happens, they won't get back, if something happens, they won't get back what their money. So says the Gemara, who gavra dezavon le'ara lechavrei shloi b'chrayis. It was all spelled out that this is not, this property is being sold shloi b'chrayis. Chazya, the seller saw the buyer davakotzev, that he was upset that he has to buy a property in this way, because as we just said, buying a property in such a manner represents a risk. Amalei amayet sivis. So he says, why are you upset? So he said, because she tarfle menach, if this property will be taken away from me because money that you own. So he said to him, if that's what happens, that the property will be taken away from you because of money that I own, magvinala mishofra, you will be able to have recourse back to me from my best property. So of course the Mefarshim ask that we know that the halacha is that you don't have recourse to go back to the buyer of a property unless the seller had no other way of paying off the obligation. So they ask, this entire obligation doesn't seem to make any sense. Because once he said that if he has property from which this buyer would have recourse, so then why would he have to go, how would this happen? And if he didn't have property, how is the buyer going to go back to him? So because of this question, the Rishonim explained, what happened here is that the property that was sold was property that there was a poitiki. A poitiki means a poite koi, which means this property that the buyer bought was property that was designated that if the loan won't be paid in cash, this is the property from which they'll collect. Even if the seller, who's the person who owes the money in our discussion, would have other properties. So he says, you're going to lose your property because this property is mortgaged to this obligation, but you'll be able to collect back, you'll be able to get back from my best property. Not only will you be able to get back the amount you paid, but any improvements you put into the property, any payers you took out of the property, you'll be able to get back. Amar Meimer, says Meimer, if this happens, we don't have to be, the halacha doesn't pay attention to what he said, because p'tumei mila ba'alma, what he said is just talk, it doesn't mean anything. And of course, the Rishonim explained the Gemara as follows. Dvarim shebelev, einam dvarim. So we're assuming now that what he said, he really didn't mean. He just said it to make this buyer feel better. So why? So we have his explicit words versus what we're saying, he didn't mean it. Why would we follow what we think he meant versus what he said? And the answer is very obvious, because here is a shtar, and the shtar he bought shloi b'chrayis. Since the shtar is very explicit that he bought shloi b'chrayis, the words that he says afterwards cannot supersede the shtar. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Ashi Lameimer, my tamamai, why don't we pay attention to what he's saying? Kiven de lekech boyle snuye, the buyer was supposed to make such a stipulation with the seller. For hocha, but we have here, the mach kamasni, it's the seller that's making the stipulation. Amrit, that's why we say ptulim mil ba'amahu. But I saw that the paiskim and indicate that there's a difference. Only when do we say b'tul b'mil ba'alma? If this happened at the end, after this transaction was completed, which is where the Gemara began, this person was upset at how things looked at that point. But if at the beginning, before the transaction actually occurred, this is what was discussed, then of course it would be acceptable. Ask the Gemara, El Masnison, let's go back to the Braisa that we discussed in our previous year. The Tani, L'chishir L'chamaz Achsalach. We talk about a person who sold his home and spoke about a case where he had to sell his home because he needed the cash, he needed the money. But he was told that if I have money, I'll be able to buy back. The Loch is, the focus in that shear was ribbis. The question is, was there ribbis? When is there ribbis in such a story? When is there no ribbis? Says the Gemara, if that's the case, according to what we're saying, in that case, again, the buyer said to the seller, if you'll have money, I'll sell it back to you. Because it's a condition that's being made for the benefit of the seller and to the detriment of the buyer. Michael asked me, but in the case, in that brisa, it wasn't the seller who was making the condition. Lekechem asked me, and it was the buyer, and was saying, and we said in our shir, there we discussed the two types of versions of how that Tanai was stated, and we said, Maishna Resha, Maishna Sefer, V'Sefer V'Amarava, and we explained the Sefer Tamalei Bidate, that he said it because he said on his own he wasn't forced to say it. Tam damo medate. That's why we explained at the end of our previous year it's not a problem. Ha loya malay medate. Had he not done that, loya meaning we wouldn't say ptule amba baamu that it's not meaningful. Amalei says the Gemara, a memesat Ravashi, the one in all cases. If the one who makes the condition is the one that's not going to benefit from the condition, we always apply the concept of tuli mil ba'alma, that we don't pay attention to what we had to say. But what happened over there, amalei medate, nasa command amalei medate. Way we understand that Gemara is that the fact that the buyer made the condition and not the seller. What was meant to say, it's as if he said that I won't go back unless I want to. In other words, that he said it makes it, and the buyer agreed, it's considered as if the buyer said it. There was a shchimera that wrote a get to his wife, and the purpose of writing the get was because he was concerned that his wife should not have to fall to Yibam. They didn't have children, and if he dies, she would have to have Yibam Chalitza. He wanted to prevent that from happening, so he wrote her a get. And as very often when we learn these type of get in the Masech the Yivamis, the Gemara spoke about him making a Tanai that the get is only effective if he passes away, right before he passes away, but he didn't make any of these stipulations. He just wrote a get. And then the Gemara says, "Ingid ve'isnach." He was upset, because he's forced to divorce her. Amrlei, so she said to him, "Amai kamesnachs? Why are you upset?" He came to the dachana. She said to him, "If you have a recovery, I will come back to you. I won't marry anyone else." Amrezvid. So now the question is, what does happen if he gets better? Says the Gemara, as we've been learning in our shir, Petula Mil Ba'alma, we ignore what she says, she just said it, but it doesn't have any halachic meaning. And if that wasn't the case, why would this make a difference? But the Dar Kaimel Mishnah Tana Begita, is she the one that's able to attach a Tanai to a get? Well, whenever we speak about a get, but the day Kaimel Mishnah Tana, it's always the husband that's in control. Answers the Gemara, Madutema. So why would we even think that this Tanai is good? Answers the Gemara, Madutema. Who give a dat to the day could go over Yav Geta? That this husband, when he gave the get, he meant that she should, it's as if he sang it. And therefore, even though she was the one that said it, but it was his intention, and therefore, since it's considered as if it was his intention that it should be a good Tanai, Kamash Malon, that it's not. And the Sifrei HaPoskim are replete with shilas about these types of commitments by a get. Are they obligatory or not? The Shas Chuvis Marim Leblin, Simon Kuf Chof Beis, discusses a situation that there was a young boy. He was 16 years old when he got married. And he got married to a woman, and he got sick. And her family tried to convince him that he should give a get, because, again, he was obviously a very young man. They never had children. And it would be a terrible tragedy that she should have to have chalitza. So they convinced him to give a get, and they told him, if you'll get better, she'll remarry you. Baruch Hashem, he got better. But what happened was, she not only didn't marry him, she went and married another man. And they used our Gemara as the reason that they were allowed to do it. That this commitment that they had made on behalf of this woman were petume mila ba'alma. They were a very meaningless statement. But the Maram Lublin says that we have to review, do we always apply the concept of petume mila ba'alma? As we discussed earlier in our shir, when do we say petume mila ba'alma? That's only if this condition, it was put in place after the fact. But if before they began the negotiation, this was said, then we don't say petume mila ba'alma. And there, said the Maram Lublin, is what happened, that this stipulation was discussed before, and therefore it cannot be considered petume ba'alma. Rav Yitzchak Chanan Zatzal, in the Shas HaTshuvos Ein Yitzchak, Evener Ezra Simon Lamed Zayin, has the same type of situation where there was a young couple that got married, and there was no shalom bayis, and the woman wanted to get divorced, and he did not want to get divorced. So what they did was that they said that they're going to discuss this with a very prominent rav, and what they did was they actually forged a note that this prominent rav wrote, that he should divorce her, that he's recommending that they get divorced, and then after they get divorced, they should get remarried, and that's how the Shalom Bayis will be able to be restored in that family. He got this note, he didn't realize that this is a fraud, and he divorced her properly. Now, he wants to remarry her, and he was notified that everything here was just a fraud, and but the get is a get. And she doesn't want to get remarried. And he is saying, well, I only got divorced based on this fraudulent note. What will be the halacha? So he says, in such a case, of course the get is not a good get. Since the entire get was written only based on this fraudulent note, had he not received this note, he would have never written a get. That's not considered a case where we say petumi mila ba'alma, and of course the get is disqualified. One of the issues that are often discussed in Shas is the concept of a asmachta. An asmachta is when somebody enters into a transaction, and there's a tanai, there's a stipulation attached to that transaction, but it was obvious that when I made this commitment, I was sure that I would not have to take the penalty, for example. We'll speak about it in a moment. And there's a machloikis throughout Shas, primarily Masechta Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Aleph Amar Aleph. Do we say Asmach de Kanya, or do we say Asmach de Loi Kanya? The basis of the machloikis is because whenever we enter a transaction, whenever there's a kinyan, it represents a seriousness of intent. And the discussion here is there indeed a seriousness of intent in such situations? So what happens was, we learned on Daf Samachay on the base that if somebody borrowed $100 and designated a $200 field as security for the loan, and he said that if he fails to repay the loan within 3 years, the creditor will acquire the entire field. And we learned the deal is binding. And if the borrower doesn't pay the loan within the designated time, he forfeits the field. So now, this is a case of an asmachta, because his commitment, says Rashi, in explaining why it's an asmachta, should not be considered binding. Because Rashi says that the reason the person agreed to such a large penalty was only to make the creditor feel good that he's going to get repaid on time. But he didn't really sincerely mean to forfeit this field in case he can't pay on time. That's how Rashi explains. The Rambam gives an example, and he says, if somebody says, if you accompany me to Yerushalayim in this day and day, I will give you or sell you this house. Says the Rambam, that this type of a pledge is considered an asmachta. And again, the Rambam says that's not binding. And even if he fulfills the condition, the Rambam says he didn't really mean it, and therefore he could back out of the commitment. Many Rishonim disagree with the Psak of the Rambam, and they say because it doesn't meet the criteria of an asmachta. The Sefer Chinuch says that the concept of asmachta applies that only in the type of a commitment which was stated in terms of a penalty, but not the regular agreement. Again, if we go back to our Mishnah, in the case of our Mishnah, this person who borrowed the money and made the commitment that he's going to pay back, that if he doesn't pay on a timely basis, he's going to forfeit his house that he put up as a mortgage, it's a penalty, because he's taking upon himself a penalty. And when a person takes upon himself a penalty, we know he only took it upon himself, that obligation, because he was sure that it'll never happen. But in the Rambam's case, where a person says, if this happens, this will happen, of course we have to honor our commitments. The Ramban, when he speaks about asmachta, said asmachta is always based on when a case of an asmachta is always in a case where it's connected to my obligation. That means in the case of the loan that we spoke about, so it's my obligation to pay the loan, and I certainly had every expectation to pay the loan. And since I had every expectation to pay the loan, that's why the Ramban says that's considered the case of. That's why Rashi says it's considered an asmachta. In the case of the Rambam, with a person by his house and traveling together, so there it's not because I was going to do something. It was dependent on somebody else. That's not called an asmachta. So as we learned, Halveya Sodeu, that if the loiva said, I'm not going to pay you within a certain time, you could keep the field. The Mishnah said it's a valid stipulation. To which says the Gemara, Amravuna Bishas Matnamanas, if this stipulation was made when the money was lent, Kanakol. The halach is that he keeps the field at the end of the 3 years, even though, as we've been discussing, the field that he's keeping is much more valuable than the amount of the loan. But if this stipulation was made after the money was loaned, like Kana, then the Malva can't keep the field. El Kenegemaisov. The only amount that he'll be able to keep is the amount that he has that's equal to the amount of money that he's owned. Rav Nachman says, Afilu Lachemat Mos, even if this was done after the money was already given, Kana Kol. Because obviously, Rav Nachman's opinion is that a smach de kanya, says the Gemara. Over Rav Nachman of the Rav Nachman once acted Gabi Resh Galusa in the home of Resh Galusa. A question of a smachta came up, and he paskin kishmatze that even after matmos it will be a valid stipulation. Says the Gemara, Kai Rav Yehuda l'shtara. But when this same question, says the Gemara, came to Rabbi Yehuda, he ripped up the document. Amle Resh Galusa, Rabbi Yehuda Karl Shtari, Resh Galusa said to Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yehuda ripped up the Shtar that you said that this stipulation, that this document is considered fine, and he is ripping it up. Amle Dardaka Kare, so Rav Nachman said, was it a youngster that ripped up the Shtar? It was Gavra Rabbi Kare. He is a great individual. And if he ripped this up, Chazbei Tama, he must have a good reason to rip it up. Chazbei Kara, he must have seen a good reason why this shtar should not be considered a good shtar. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of what say. Amale, that what Rav Nachman's response to Resh Galusa was, that actually, my view is the Dardika Kari, that the person who ripped up the shtar should be viewed as a youngster. Because the Kula Amal Gabi Didi Bedina, everyone compared to me when it comes to Dine Mamanis, Rav Nachman was an expert judge in Dine Mamanis, and anybody compared to me is Dardik Ninu, is considered a youngster, and we shouldn't have to pay attention to what he did. Hadamar Rav Nachman, and then Rav Nachman actually rethought this, and he said, Afil B'Shas Matmos. First he said that if it happened after the money was given, then it's good. Then he said it's meaningless even at the time of the stipulation. Afilu b'shas matmos lekanav leklom, because it's only an asmachta and asmachta lekanya. Eisei Rav l'Rav Nachman. Imat, we go back to our Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, Imat anoslim mikamat shloishonim, if you don't pay me up, the malvim, the loiva discuss, that if the loiva doesn't pay up his obligation within 3 years, harayishali, then this property will become his. The loch is arei shloi. Then it becomes his. So we don't say, so from here we see, that such as, even though the property is worth double what the loan was worth. Amalei, ani oimer asmach dekanya. So said Rav Nachman, I indeed say that asmach des kanya. A minyuni is the one that says asmach de loy kanya. And therefore, so he says, that under normal circumstances, that in the Mishnah, I said it's a good kinyan. Minyumi is the man, the Omer, that says smachta loikanya. Here in our Mishnah, I say that certainly it was never the loiva's intention to give over the field to the malva, because he had no intention that that would ever happen. And that's why in our Mishnah, says Rav Nachman, I would agree that it's not a good commitment. Ask the Gemara, but Lemanyume Kashim Asnisin, says the Gemara, but our Mishnah is a Beferish Mishnah that says such a commitment, the explicit Mishnah that says that such a commitment is valid. Answers the Gemara, by saying Rabbi Yossi, Dama Smach Tekanya. We're going to have to explain that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that says that a Smachta is Kanyan. Bibayis Ema. And there's another way of explaining the Mishnah, Damale, that the case of our Mishnah was that he said, Kanim Achshav, that the loiva said to the malva that you're going to take ownership from right now. So where is it in the smachta? Particularly going back to the explanation that we gave earlier. The smachta is when it's a penalty. What is the definition of a penalty? That I'm certain that I won't, that whatever will cause that I should be obligated in this penalty will never happen. But in a case where that way, where the penalty, it's not a penalty, It's a kinyan that I'm giving it right now. That's not considered an esmachtam. The pasuk in Parshas Vayetze says, "V'yomi Yaakov elokei avi Avram elokei avi Yitzchak." And the Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you promised me that when I left my father's home in Be'er Sheva, you said that Anei Hashem elokei Avram avicha elokei Yitzchak. And you said to me, "V'shmarticha b'chol ashtelech." And in Beis Lovin, you told me, you said, "Hey, shuv alatz avisech v'lamatov ve'imach." And now Yaakov turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, "You promised me twice that you'll be with me. Now, as I approach Esav, what's going to be?" Why did Yaakov Avinu have to mention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you promised this to me twice? So the Sefer Shem Yaakov says that the reason Yaakov Avinu was concerned, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said when he gave him this commitment, so says the Sefer Shema Yaakov, that whenever we have the word im, as we just finished saying, it's like a penalty. And we're learning that an asmachta loikanya. But there's a new halacha, that even in a case where there's an asmachta, but it's said in the lashon of a shvua, then even as everybody agrees that the smacht is kanya. Why does everybody agree that under such circumstances a smacht is kanya? Because if you attach the shvua to your commitment, it shows that you're serious about this. So that's why Yaakov Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said it twice. And the halacha is that somebody who says something twice, it's equivalent to a shvua. So Yaakov Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made this commitment to me twice. Since you made this commitment to me twice, so it's not an asmachta, and therefore you have to do it. There's an interesting question that the Chashuki Chemed discusses, again, under the concept of an asmachta. He speaks about a situation where the administration of a yeshiva is anxious that the boys in the yeshiva should learn, they should learn Mishnayos Bal Peh. And what happened was that they said that if the boys learn whatever, a certain amount of Mishnayos, they're going to get a valuable prize. And there's a number of questions here. Number one question, is this a commitment that has to be honored because it was with children? So he quotes the Sefer Havas Chesed, that says that Havavakish Mekotin Shiasloi Dovama, if somebody asks a child to do something on his behalf, and he promises that if you'll do it, I'm going to do whatever I'm supposed to do, and then the child does as he was supposed to do, and you don't keep your commitment, says the Chofetz Chaim and the Sefer Havas Chesed, you're over Bal Tolin. It doesn't make a difference that he's a child. It's called Bal Tolin, and that you didn't pay the wages in a timely fashion. The next question that he discusses, well, maybe this is an asmachta. The administration could say that we never expected that the children or whichever children will learn what we said. If they learn, they're going to get the prize. So, of course, he says that we can't turn everything into an asmachta. As we said, an asmachta, particularly we follow the explanation that we gave in Rashi from the Rishonim earlier, is only in a situation where it's a penalty, where I never expected that I won't fulfill what I have to do and that I'll end up being penalized. We can't say that children who are encouraged to learn will be, and if they do what they were encouraged to do, that that's called a penalty when I have to give them what I told them I have to give them. Then he discusses, so maybe can the administration of the yeshiva say that it should become the obligation of the parents to pay this for these prizes? And of course, he says, how can we make somebody pay for something that they didn't on their own make that commitment? The yeshiva made the commitment. The parents then make the commitment. And there's one other point that he makes, which is an important consideration. We're dealing with children. He says when we're speaking about children, chinuch, the proper chinuch requires that these children be taught that a commitment is something that we honor. A commitment is not something that we just ignore. And if they made a commitment to the children that if they're going to learn or whatever, they're going to get the prize, it becomes very much our obligation to honor that commitment and not try to get out. It says the Gemara, Amalei ma yinuka ma kshisha b'rei d'rechidza l'rashi. Hochram and Adar, Mishmeid Rav Nachman, hay asmachta, whenever we speak about asmachta, bizmanei, if the time comes, as we've been discussing in our shir, this person took upon himself this penalty. If the time comes and he doesn't honor, he doesn't pay the loan, kanya. The smachta encompasses that it will become the property of the malva. Lois money, but if before the question, before the time, like kanya, he doesn't become the owner of the property. The mefarshim all point out that mark that we find here that that Rav Chisda had two children, Mayinuka Makshisha. There's two ways of understanding. One pshat is that Mayinuka, they both had the name Mar. Yinuka was the younger one, and Kashisha was the older one. And others say that the difference is that Yinuka was the child that was born to him when Rav Chisda was younger. And Kashisha is the child that was born when he was older. And many Paiskim discussed the halacha about having two children with the same name. And many of them suggest that we should not have two children with the same name. That every child has to have the same name and has to have a different name. And there is a discussion what happens if there's a family, the name Simcha is a name that's given to boys and girls. So let's say somebody had a father, Simcha, and he passed away, and he gave a name to his daughter, Simcha, and then he had a boy, so he gave the name Simcha to that boy. Even that is not so clear if that's permissible. Certainly, the Divrei Makil also adds a new consideration that if you're going to have two sons or two daughters with the same name, and the brothers and sisters are in the same house when they're married, it can lead to all sorts of inappropriate confusion. So now the question, of course, is how did Rav Chisda have two sons that had the same name, Makshisha and Mayinuka? So one answer, of course, is that their names were Makshisha and Mayinuka. So the two names are not the same. And the other answer is that whenever we speak about the name of a Jewish child, the parent, when he gives his child, parents, when they give their child a name, have a level of Ruach HaKodesh in giving that name. So when we speak about a great individual like Rav Chisda, we can be confident that Rav Chisda had the Ruach HaKodesh that was required to give that name. But that's not something that we could attribute to anyone else. Amalus Rav Ashi said, how could I understand what you're saying? Well, if the time for the loan comes and the loiver doesn't pay it, then the malva will get the field. But if it before that time, he doesn't get the field. Amalei, komidi, that's not a unique psak. Komidi, whenever we speak about a commitment, bezmani koni, when the time comes, that's when the obligation kicks in. But loizmani loi koni, says the Gemara, demach kamiso. Maybe what you meant to say was, ashkechei, if the loiver met the malva, begoizmani, and before the time a payment came, Vamle and the loiver told the malva koni, take the field. I won't have the ability to pay you back, koni. Then the halach is that it's a kinyan, because why did he have to say it if he didn't mean it? However, if he said it to him boss's money after the time a payment came, Vamle koni, and that's when the loiver says to the malva, it's yours. Then the halach is like honey, it does become his. My tama, because we assume that this is really an asmachta. It's not a kaina. Why did he say it? Because machmas ksufu de kamalei. He's embarrassed that I owe you the money. The time for paying the money has come, and I haven't been able to pay you. So he says it, but he doesn't mean it. Says the Gemara, v'lohi. The halach is not like what was just said. And the halach is that feel because money, that even if the loiver finds, meets the malva before the commitment, before the time of the payment that came, nami loikoni, the malva doesn't become the owner of this property. I, why did he say it? The haidam loikoni, because he thought, kimat is money, loilais letardin. He just did it for a stalling tactic. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, hai asmachta. When we speak about asmachta, zimnen kanya, sometimes a smachta is valid, sometimes it's not. And he explains, Ashkechei, in the case of our Gemara, when the malva sees the loiva, the kashasi shikra, that he's drinking beer, wine, on the day that he's supposed to pay, kani, that's a proof that he meant that this property should become the malva's. The kamahapach azuzei, because if he wanted to pay, he should be looking for money. We shouldn't be sitting and drinking beer. And therefore, the Kamahapach Azuzei, if we see, however, so if we see that he's drinking, so we see that he forfeited the property. But if we see he's looking for money, so it means that he doesn't want that the Malva should get the property, and the Malva loikani. Amalei Rachma Diftel Ravina Dilma, just because we see him drinking, why is that an indication that he has given up on the property? Maybe the reason he's drinking, he's drinking because he's so upset. And this is the way he is able to deal with his sorrow in Ami. You know why he's drinking? Because in the Shechrina, another person told him, you have nothing to worry about. I'll give you the money that you should be able to pay up the loan and not lose your property. Elam Ravina, how do we know what is the lover's attention? If we see that this is a person that is very particular and very exact in his words, vadikane, that means that he certainly meant to sell it. Because if that's the way he is, he doesn't ever do anything that's not perfectly thought about, calculated, then he must have meant it. Maybe the reason, in other words, he should have sold property that he has if he wants to get back this property. So says the Gemara, that is in the consideration. Maybe the reason he didn't sell off his property is because he's concerned that once you start selling property, people are going to always want you to sell property off cheap because they know you're desperate for money.
If somebody is very careful never to sell his property, and here we see that he's always careful never to sell his property, and here we see he's doing nothing, certainly what it means is that he meant to sell it, and that's why Vadikoni. Vamra Papa, The
property, even though the malva doesn't take ownership of the property in the story that we're speaking about, it does become an apoitiki that he has first rights in this property to get back the money that's owed to him. Says the Ramalei Rafuna Bereder of Nosna Rapapa, I don't understand. This person said that the property will become yours. That's what the loiver said to the malva. We're learning in our shir today that that's not a commitment that we have to pay attention to, because we say that it was an asmachta. So now to say, well, it's not going to become his property because it's an asmachta, but it should become a poetiki, how do we say that? Says the Gemara, but if he made that stipulation, it's an asmachti, it's also an asmachta. But ask the Gemara, why? Why are you saying if the loiva said it, then it does become an apaitiki. Saif, we're learning throughout our shiur today that this is an asmachta loikanya. Says the Gemara, al apaitiki the kamra papa mayi. When is it considered an apaitiki? In a case where the loiva said explicitly to the malva, layeril chaproin el mazu. If he said that explicitly, of course that's the way a property becomes an apaitiki. Here we're learning about people drinking and why would people drink and why would people not drink. The Pasuk says that the Kohanim were warned, Yayin v'secha al-teisht.
And the Medrash says, "Hahud ksiv pekudei Hashem yisharim mesamchei lev." And the question is, what does this? What does the pasuk of pekudei Hashem yisharim mesamchei lev have to do with the iser that kahana may not drink wine? So the Cheshiv Sofer explains that we know that the pasuk says that Nadav and Avihu brought an ace zara, and that's why they were nifter. That's why they passed away. And the question is, what does that mean? And the Medrash says, that the reason the Adam and Avihu were nifter is because they drank wine before they came into the Oil Mayid. Why would they drink wine before they came into the Oil Mayid? So he explains that the Pasuk says, Ivdus Hashem b'simcha, when a person serves Hashem, he has to be b'simcha. And the Pasuk also says, V'yayin yisamach la'vav enosh, wine is what makes people happy. So what Nadav and Avihu's thinking was that, well, let's drink wine before we come to do the Avodah in the Mishkan so that we should be on the proper level of Simcha. But why did they make a mistake? Because there's a better way of coming to Simcha and Avodah Hashem. Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Mesam Chelev. When you do a mitzvah, when you learn Torah, you come to the proper level of Simcha. And that's what the Medrash says. Nadav and Avihu drank wine, and their thinking perhaps was a good thinking, that they wanted to come to Simcha before they do the Avodas Hashem. Says the Pasuk to them, yes, you're supposed to come to Simcha before your Avodas Hashem. But how are you supposed to attain that Simcha? The way you're supposed to attain that Simcha is through Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Samchei Lev, through doing a mitzvah. The fact that you had the opportunity to now go do the mitzvah, that's what should made you happy, not drinking wine. Says the Gemara, Hahu Gavra, the Zovan Le Ara L'Chavri Bechrayis. Somebody sold property to somebody else, Bechrayis, that the seller took upon himself, that if the property is taken away, I will have to pay you for what you lose. That's what the seller said to the buyer. Omalei, and the buyer said to the seller, if this property will be taken from you, you could take from my best property. You could take my best property for that. That's what he said to him. So he says, no, they had a very serious conversation. He says, I won't give you from the idiots. The bain and make him come out. I want that property. You'll be able to get from other idiots, even though halachically he only has to get beinus. L'soif, at the end says the Gemara, Terfumine, the property was taken away from the buyer. But what had happened was that in the meantime, Asabitka, the shakal of the idjis, there was a flood that had ruined the idjis, says the Gemara. What happened was, now he says, that the property that you thought you could get, I'm not ready to give it to you. I only was ready to give you that property because I had better property. But now I don't have that better property anymore. I'm not ready to give you the property that you have your eyes on. So for a couple of minutes, Midas Amalei, he told him that property you'll be able to collect. For Kaiman, he has that property. Amalei Ravachim Adiftel Ravina. For Leimalei, why can't he say, Ki Amiloch Ana, when I said it, Magbimaloch, that was only Davi Idiyadis Kameh, when he still had that Idiyadis in his possession, and it was a good property. Hashed up, but now he should be able to say, Kaimali Idiyadis, but Makam Idiyadis, what I had in mind with the Idiyadis, that I want to hold on to my best property, this property that you want to take is now my best property. Says the Gemara, Rabbah, and that's why it's in a smach that he wants to say, and I shouldn't be chayif. Rav Kahana owed Rav Kahana money. Amalei ilay pranalach. Rav Ashva said to Rav Kahana, ilay pranalach liyam ploini. If I don't pay you up by a certain date, gavi mai chamra. You could take your payment out of this wine. So our popular meaner. So Papa wanted to say, so the question was, this was very good wine. And the question was, and the wine went up in value. And the question was, does he have recourse to that wine or not?
Sovra Popula Mema, Kemri Esmachta Lekanya, where do we say that Esmachta we don't pay attention to? Hani Ili Ba'ara, when we speak about property. Delal Zunikaima, people don't typically sell property. They want to hold on to their property. Aval Chamra, but when we speak about wine, Kivin Del Zunikai, people sell wine. Kazuzi Dami, and there we don't say it's an Esmachta. Any situation where it's like we say that if, and I never expect that if to happen, is an asmachta and loikani.